Right now, it is time for somebody who is indigenous to Robin Hood Radio, and that is Arthur Schwartz, the food maven. Of course, you can find Arthur here every Monday morning. We also have him up on our online site, which is robinhoodradio.com. Click on demand. Click on Arthur Schwartz, the food maven. And we say happy Indigenous Peoples Day and Columbus Day, Arthur.
Good morning.
Good
and
morning.
Happy no alternate side of the street parking day. In New York City, which is, I think, mainly what people are most interested in.
I was going to say, that's true.
They don't have to wake up early. My cousin, last Monday was Shmini Atzeres, which is a little-known Jewish holiday. But it's called my cousin at dinner on Sunday night looked at her phone to see, does this warrant no alternate time parking for the next day? So that's where that came from. Well, I woke up this morning not know what to talk about, so thank God it's Columbus Day, because Columbus Day is the day that we always talk about Italian food. And there's a reason for this, besides that Columbus was, in theory, maybe not, but Italian from Genoa. In Genoa, they acknowledge him as a favorite son. There's a statue of him. But I date back to the times of the beginning of time. And in the beginning of time, when I was a newspaper editor, we featured Italian food on Columbus Day, which was still October 12th then, because that was the day the supermarkets advertised Italian specials. The supermarkets used this as a day to feature Italian products. What few there were back then, now there's everything. So it became Italian Food Day. I went on Facebook this morning just because I check in to see what my friends are up to, and there was my friend Erica Demain who wrote a wonderful, somewhat but ever so slightly inventive Italian cookbook. She is Italian. She cooks Italian. She cooks real Italian food. But, you know, like every Italian home cook, she likes to tweak it in her way. So this morning, I noticed that she was making a recipe I didn't think anybody else made except me, because I got this recipe from the head cook at Cecilia's Agriturismo many years ago. She made this a lot at this time of the year because it's the squash time of year. It's pasta with butternut squash. And as far as I knew, she'd invented this recipe. But anyway, Erica made it almost exactly the way I make it, and it's really delicious, and it's really Italian, even though it doesn't go near a tomato. I have to say that because I'm on my way to New Orleans tomorrow, and there is a branch of Italian-American cooking that they have in Louisiana, which they call Creole Italian, which is going to be interesting to me, I think. But looking at the menus of the couple of restaurants that feature this food, including one called, now I'm not going to remember the name, but it'll come to me. It's all tomato sauce, pretty much all tomato sauce. Because I think that's the way Americans think of Italian food. But it's not true. I always like to say, in the South, yes, of course, they totally honor tomato sauce, and many people just eat tomato sauce. But in fact, they like mayonnaise and bechamel almost as much as they like tomato sauce. So there are a lot of recipes with white sauce with bechamel. I don't know of any pasta sauce with mayonnaise, but anyway. So, squash and pasta is something, I think about as soon as the weather gets cool. Of course, yesterday it was 80-something degrees around here. So
and tomorrow.
Much squash tomorrow, too?
Yeah.
Well, I'm headed towards 80s and humid in New Orleans, which is by far not my favorite weather, but
you can never tell
with the weather. I called the hotel that we're staying in, and the owner said it has been one hell of a hot summer for them down there. So they consider mid-80s, the weather has broken, and it's now fall. have to deal with that. But anyway, I want to give this recipe before I run out of any time, because it is something that we love in my house. It is a great dish for company, depending on which pasta you use, because not every pasta is easy to serve for a crowd. But this is, if you make it with cavatelli, the way Anna, who I learned the recipe from, makes it. Cavatelli is maybe my least favorite pasta shape.
Okay. Well, is that the...
Unless they're extraordinary, they're too chewy and heavy for me. And I say they because cavatelli is a plural word.
Right. And which ones are the...
Cavatelli... they're curled. It's curled flour and water pasta.
Right. They have the little crimps on the end.
The small ones are called cavatelli, but there are other names for longer ones. And I have a friend who's a chef in Avellino, and he always calls his forefinger. He likes to speak English. He says mine are four finger cavatelli, because when you make the dough, you roll out a little rope, and these are. By the way, the trick, if you really want to try making cavatelli, I did learn from a master, somebody whose cavatelli I love, and I had to find out what he does, and the secret for him is boiling water. You have to have really asbestos hands, because as soon as the water hits the flour and you stir it in, you have to start forming the pasta. But anyway, Tonino, my chef friend in Avellino, he rolls out I would say it's a 4-inch little rope, and he takes the last four finger, not thumb, the last four fingers of his hand, and you take that little rope and you push your fingers into the dough and you scrape it along the table so that it ends up being cupped. So you have a 4-inch long rope of pasta that now is thinned out because you've pressed it into the table, but also in a sort of canoe shape. A single cavatelli, the ones you can buy them frozen in supermarkets.
Yeah, they were what I was picturing.
And they're okay.
Yeah.
Most of them are okay. It's still not my favorite pasta. In any case, I don't make it with cavatelli. You could also use orecchiette, which is what my friend Erica does on Facebook. She demonstrates the recipe using orecchiette, which is almost like cavatelli, but shaped like a little
ear.
Your crests round, you know, their little ears, orecchiette.
Yeah, and their little ears.
I like it with, I must say, I like it with rigatoni, penne, ziti, any tubular pasta, even the one that is often labeled schiaffone, but in Naples and in the South, it's often called paccheri. Interesting word, paccheri. Paccheri in dialect means slaps. And it dawned on me one day that paccheri is related to patch, as in I'm patching around, which means I'm slapping around aimlessly, or a patch in tuchus, a slap on the backside. You know, it's a Yiddish word, pach. And in fact, the south of Italy was controlled by Austria, by the Habsburgs, for years. And some of their language, of the Austrian language, infiltrated the Italian, and as did French and Spanish. So the southern dialect, the Neapolitan dialect language, is sprinkled with these words. Paccheri is the Neapolitan word for schiaffone, which also means slaps, but in Italian. In any case, they're very, very large tubes. And I like tubes for this because the pasta, the condimento, it's not really a sauce, but the seasoning that you put on them, should get caught in the tubes. I like to get it so that when you pick up a piece of ziti or rigatoni, you're not just getting something on the surface, but bits of squash and sausage, which is what this is with, get caught in the tube. So it's a super easy recipe. You can make the condimento, the seasoning, in the morning and serve it at night. You can refrigerate it overnight. It's okay. You just have to reheat it. And so let's start with you're going to need a butternut squash. And you're going to, now peeling a butternut squash can be daunting. So I often cut it across into rings, and then could be pretty, you know, big rings, like, you know, 4 inches at a time. By the way, I like to use the bulbous bottom of the squash, maybe for something else. Depends on the size of the squash. If it's a little squash, you're probably going to have to use the whole thing. But if you buy a big squash, you can use the neck portion, which is solid pulp, solid meat, and then use the bottom portion, which has all the seeds in it, for something else entirely. So let me start with how. So then you cut down. So you make these big rings, and if you take a really sharp knife and cut down on your board, you'll end up with peeled eggplants. What are my eggplants? Butternut squash. I don't know why I said the eggplant. And then you want to dice it. So either you make tiny, I noticed that Erica makes very tiny, I'm going to actually look up my proportions here. She makes very tiny dice. I don't, because in the end, I like to squish it down a little bit after it's soft and cooked, and I end up with dice, but, you know, cubes, some cubes, let's say half-inch cubes, and then the rest is sort of squashed squash. So this is enough for about a pound and a half of pasta. You're going to need 2 pounds of butternut squash. And a medium butternut squash is about 2 pounds. After you've diced it into half-inch cubes, you're going to end up with 4.5 to 5 cups of squash. So that's your prep. The other prep is to take 2 links of sweet Italian pork sausage. Now, I don't love it with fennel, but sometimes you can only get it with fennel, especially if you're buying in a supermarket. But if you can get without fennel, it's better. But the fennel is a nice flavor here, so it's okay. This is about 1/2 pound of pork sausage, and take it out of the casing. Now, Anna, who I learned this from, she adds some pancetta. But it's totally optional. It's totally not necessary, especially if you have nice, juicy sausage. So in a saucepan, at least 3-quart saucepan, which is a medium saucepan, combine a couple tablespoons of olive oil, and the sausage. And with the side of your spoon, your wooden spoon, break the sausage into little pieces. It's like you're breaking up chopped meat. And continue to break it up as it cooks. It's going to lose its raw color in 3 or 4 minutes, at which point you're going to add a small, and I mean a small, onion. In the end, it shouldn't be really much more than 1/2 cup of minced onion. And a large clove of garlic, coarsely chopped, one of the rare times where a Neapolitan cook combines garlic and onion. And saute that in with the sausage for, I don't know, at least another 4 or 5 minutes until the onion sort of wilts. Then you're going to add the remaining seasonings. Now, I use rosemary in mine. I noted that Erica Demain used both rosemary and sage because she had it in her garden. I think the rosemary is enough, and about a tablespoon of fresh rosemary leaves, and I chop them up a little bit, and a 1/4 teaspoon of red pepper flakes. I think the red pepper is essential here. It's not going to make the dish, 1/4 teaspoon is not going to make the dish spicy, but it's going to give it that under flavor of hot pepper. And, you know, red pepper has a flavor as well as heat. And so add that. Now you've got your, you know, the base of your sauce, so to speak. And add your 2 cups of water and the squash, now diced into 1/2-inch pieces. And the water should barely cover the squash. This is going to depend on the size pot you use, truthfully. Don't worry about it. Just make sure, you know, if it's less or more than 2 cups of water, it could be a little wet one way or the other. It should just barely cover the squash. Bring it to a boil. And then adjust the heat so it simmers gently, uncovered, until the squash is tender enough to mash against the side of the pot with a wooden spoon. This takes about 20 minutes. And then you smash up some of the squash, and you leave some of the squash in cubes, and you've now got a sauce. It's really delicious, and I use it several ways. I say I cook it in pasta, a pound to even a pound and a half, so this can feed at least six people. Maybe, if you're really hungry, four people. But it's really a lot of food for four people. I mean, some people eat a lot of pasta. I try to eat not too much at one time, but regularly. And that's it. Serve this with grated cheese. It definitely calls for, not every Italian pasta recipe should get cheese. This is something Italians like to laugh at us for because Americans tend to put cheese on everything, even if it doesn't belong there. But this case, it does belong there. And a Parmigiano Reggiano is great. Grana Padano, which is very similar to Parmigiano, is great. So is Pecorino. But for a change, you might want to use ricotta salata, which when it hits the hot pasta will become very creamy. I like that. So that's my dish for Columbus Day. And Erica, by the way, she likes to sometimes incorporate, she says on Facebook, she likes to incorporate the cheese into the dish. So you can, or you can put it on top. Either way, it's really good. Cavatelli or macaroni with butternut squash and sausage. Are you going to make this, Jane?
Jane?
Jill?
Yeah, Jane.
Jane, is Jane making it? Yeah. So Jill, are you making this?
Well, what is comical is that I did a version of it. I'm sometimes a squashophobe, but I did a version of it last night with tomatoes because I always have sweet sausage lying around.
But you added tomato to it.
Well, I broke up the sweet sausage. I've been looking at
sausage,
right. I broke up the sausage, and then I sort of took the tomatoes and I olive oiled them, and I just did it, and I ended up mixing.
Italian cooks are very improvisatory. Is that a word?
Improvisational.
Improvisational.
Yeah, and it's always. But what was fascinating to me as I watched the process of the improvisation is first I looked at recipes, and because this is how I do news, this is how I do everything, I look at it and go, yuck, 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 oh, yuck, yuck, mm. And then I took that sort of, there was an old recipe for sausage and white sauce, and I was like, what the heck? But, all that was no tomato.
Oh, yes, so it was white.
Right. But I just,
another place I looked this morning for, I thought, maybe inspiration, was I got an email from Cookster. Do you know about Cookster?
I do not.
C-O-O-K-S-T-R. Cookster started out as a website that featured recipes, tested recipes from cookbooks that are acknowledged to be reliable. Let's put it that way. Publishers had to agree to allow Cookster to use recipes, and one of my publishers refused. So you won't find many of my recipes on Cookster. But I get email from them all the time. And in fact, my book, Cooking in a Small Kitchen, which was just republished in a nice little edition after 40 years, was published more or less by Cookster. I mean, it's a long story, but Cookster is is now a division of, I guess it's Macmillan. And so anyway, I get this Cookster email this morning, 19 Italian recipes, and I look at it, and I would say, if I'm going to be generous here, half of them are really Italian. I thought the most egregious non-Italian Italian recipe here was actually from, what book is it from? It's from a Rocco di Spirito book.
God, I haven't heard that name for ages.
Pardon me?
I haven't heard Rocco's name for ages.
Well, I saw him on TV recently. He's gotten a lot of facelifts or something. He's semi-unrecognizable, but
okay.
They told me who he was, so I knew who it was. But this is the least Italian of all these. I mean, I shouldn't say of all, because I got disgusted and stopped looking at the recipes. It's orecchiette with a sauce of, well, I don't even want to go there. It's just like a mess. And then I love how he says in this introduction to the recipe, when I traveled to Pisa, I spent time with artisanal pasta makers. Watching them reminded me what an art form hand-shaped pasta is. And then he says, if you can buy or make fresh hand-shaped orecchiette, I guarantee you they were not making orecchiette in Pisa. This is not a Tuscan pasta at all. Maybe they were making peachy, which is a similar, well, it's a dough. It's a flour water dough. Orecchiette is a really simple pasta, and its main home is Puglia, but it's made all over the South, or it's appreciated, I should say, all over the South. It's not made all over the South. Oh, I forgot to say one thing about my squash sauce, which is it's very good in rice.
Yeah.
If you're a rice person and not a pasta person, you can just stir that into already cooked, slightly al dente rice and let it sit together for a few minutes. Or you can make a proper risotto, you know, braised rice, Italian rice, and then stir that in at the end as the final flavoring and liquid for the rice. It's really, really good. And by the way, Anna at Cecilia's Farm does it that way sometimes too. So I'm pointing out Rocco Di Spirito's recipe only because what passes for Italian food in the U.S. is often not any relation at all to Italian food. And in fact, one of these people said something about, oh, well, you know, my recipe is really quick, unlike Italian recipes, which take forever. Not true. Not true at all. The reason I cook so much Italian food is that it's really easy quick.
And, you know,
Italians have better things to do. Even as much as they love to cook and eat, there are other things in life, and they know it. And so you don't want to spend all, unless you're having a big, you know, festive party or something, you know.
No, and what I think is really fascinating, I was looking through some recipes at Cookster. One of the most important, as it turns out, the things for me cooking-wise were a couple of French village women who would spend about, not very, it was the south of France, and it's relevant because...
I'm sorry, I missed the word.
It was the south of France, and the reason that's relevant is because it's more Italian, shall we say, than Parisian. But it was just, here are the potatoes, here's the this, bang this, and not bam like Emerald, but just, you know, these are the ingredients, and these are the pretty simple things that you do with it, because we've got way more things to do than sit here and sort of massage the thing and bevel the edge of the this and the that.
Speaking of bam and Emerald.
Yeah, New Orleans.
Yeah. I happen to know the story behind Bam. And when early in his TV career, Emerald would be standing there demonstrating whatever he was demonstrating before nobody but a cameraman and a couple of other crew people. And apparently he was pretty boring in the beginning. And so they would look dozy or uninterested, and so Emerald would say "Bam,"
and wake him up.
To wake him up, and everybody got startled and laughed, and it became a thing. Emerald still has restaurants in New Orleans. I don't think I'm going to any of them.
Have you picked your restaurants, by the way?
I have lists. Yeah, I have.
Are you going to do?
You know, this is some restaurant town. Now that I've done all this.
Oh my
research.
God! Are you
it's unbelievable?
Are you exploring Commander's Palace?
I want to do some other things besides eat, but there's a lot to eat.
And
we're going the gamut from dive bars where they have supposedly great po' boys to Galatoire's, which is over 100 years old. Still requires a jacket and a, quote, collared shirt.
Yep.
So we have to carry jackets with us to go to Galatoire. I have to go to Galatoire. See, I love traditional food, and New Orleans is all about tradition. Things sometimes don't change for 100 years, and I'm looking forward to Galatoire's, where apparently nothing has changed in 100 years. But other places where nothing has changed in 100 years, and also... one place that two soul food restaurants, Willie Mae's Scotch House. Do you know about Willie Mae's Scotch House?
I do not.
It's supposedly among the best fried chicken in the country.
Okay.
And I'm super curious, and besides that, it's only about two or three blocks from the hotel we're staying in. I'm super curious because here in Brooklyn, we have a great, great, great barbecue called Hometown. In fact, people have said this is the best barbecue joint outside of Texas. It's not strictly Texas barbecue, by the way. It's sort of a hybrid Brooklyn Texan barbecue. I mean, they have jerk ribs there. That's not Texan. In any case, it's more Brooklyn. Jamaican. In any case, the owner of Hometown is opening another restaurant. We've been waiting for 2 years for this place. It's been under construction for 2 years. They've had all kinds of permit problems, and their expediter, the guy who was coordinating everything and with the permits, was arrested and sent to jail or something. I may be wrong about that, but he definitely was arrested and is gone. In any case, this place is now called a Hometown Tavern, and it's about to open any minute, and they're only going to have fried chicken. And the owner's inspiration was Willie Mae's in New Orleans, so I'm dying to go there. I just found out yesterday they close early tomorrow at 8 o'clock, maybe even earlier, and who knows what the weather, the airport, flights are going to be. I'll make it, but since I'm so close, I'll go another time.
And are you
the other famous soul food restaurant in New Orleans is Dookie Chase, and Dookie herself, who's like close to 100 or 100 years old, is still alive and still apparently sits in the restaurant a lot.
Are you going to go to Commander's Palace? I have to interrupt.
Pardon me?
Are you going to Commander's Palace?
I'm not going to Commander's Palace because it's fusion food now.
Ms. Ella just died.
I know. I knew Ella Brennan, and
I was just curious.
And I went to Brennan's when she was still at Brennan's. You know, she and her family had a big fight, and she took over Commander's Palace, and the rest of the family took over Brennan's. Last time I was in New Orleans, I'm embarrassed to say, almost 50 years ago, Brennan's for breakfast was the thing. But I'm not going to do that either. I am going to Galatoire. I asked my friends who live in New Orleans if they had a choice between Galatoire and Commander's Palace, and they all agreed that Galatoire was much more of an event. It was more interesting for me than, well, you'll call me Monday.
Yes. And we can link the radio show.
I will be at a place called Inn at the Old Jail.
Okay.
My hotel. I was asked, do I want the bars on the windows or not? And I'm in cell B.
Well, enjoy cell B.
Yeah, well, I need to do a lot of walking in New Orleans because in between is food.
Yeah, you have to walk it off. I understand.
You have to walk off every meal.
All right.
All right. Have a great trip. And
so anyway, everybody have a great Columbus Day. Enjoy something Italian. And you should enjoy something Italian every week.
I agree.
I leave it at that.
All right. Have a safe trip.
Ciao, ciao.
Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, here on Robin Hood Radio. Arthur Schwartz, the food maven from Hathaway Young, located on South Center Street in Millerton. Flawless catering and event planning, HathawayYoung.com. John Andrews Restaurant on the Hillsdale Road in South Egremont, 413-528-3467. On the web, jarestaurant.com. Rubiner's Cheesemongers and Groceries on Main Street in Great Barrington, 413-528-0488, Rubiner's.com. In Hillsdale, New York, Hillsdale Home Chef with two beautiful teaching classes, and they've got classes to go in those cooking rooms. More information, 518-325-7000, hgshomechef.com. And Haven Cafe in Lenox, Massachusetts, offering quality food and excellent service. From a fresh cup of great coffee to healthy, delicious breakfast, or sit down with a dinner with a tasty, life-enhancing meal that you can take home. Also, they feature catering. Supporting local organic farmers, environmentally conscious, and epicurious distributors, havencafebakery.com.